All right, we're going to start our previews of the AFC North, and we'll do that at 4:30. We'll talk some Cincinnati Bengals football. We had Marvin Lewis on this summer, and we chatted with him about that. But we want to get your take on who you like in this division as well. You know, when you talk about the AFC North, you know, everyone always gravitates towards Pittsburgh, and I get that, and justifiably so, because this is a quarterback-driven league, and I think that most people feel when Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, you know, he's one of the very best in football. I think they also have the best coach in the division. I love their coach. I think he's great. There's really nothing about Mike Tomlin that I look at and don't like.
Yeah, I agree.
I just love the way that organization is run. You know, to me, I have a difficult time, barring injury, not picking Pittsburgh in that division.
Yeah, I mean, the other team that is always kind of maybe the thorn in their side, if there is one, is Baltimore, obviously, with Ray Lewis and that whole thing when they were rolling. And, you know, Flacco's going to have to be healthy to maybe give them a run. You know, and you look at what they might be able to do in this division, Grant. Is there any way when you look at it, you see, okay, this is, you say, barring injury, with the exception of Ben Roethlisberger going down, I don't really see anything that would lead me to believe anyone besides Pittsburgh. I mean, they were a whole three-game winners last year. I know last year is last year, but for all intents and purposes, they've, you know, improved and gotten a year better under their belt with that prolific offense, understanding how and what and when to do what they do. Yeah, I would say the Steelers run away with this one.
And, you know, we bounce around a little bit, but I got a couple of people on social media talking about Kansas City yesterday and why I like them so much. And for the folks that did not get a chance to hear our conversation with the gentleman from the Kansas City Star, I think they are the most balanced team in that division. And by that I mean, do I think their offense is as good as the Raiders? No. Do I think it's as good as San Diego's? Probably not. But I love their defense. I like their overall coaching. I like the personnel, and I like the consistency that they have, and that's why I think they are still the best team in that division.
You know, you speak to something, Grant. I didn't pick them, but you speak to the most balanced team. I picked the Raiders, and you speak to the most balanced. And I think that you're spot on. When you talk about Andy Reid, you're talking about a guy who's been there before. He hasn't won, but he's been to the Super Bowl. He's led teams. He's developed quarterbacks, had a good defense with Philadelphia and the Eagles. Now he comes to Kansas City. I like their defense. Their defense flies around the field. Eric Berry, just the whole deal that they bring. Offensively, Alex Smith, and this is something that you and I talk about, but we talk about with the SAC Kings trainer, Pete Youngman, because he's a Kings, a Chiefs fan, that Alex Smith is the type of guy who's not going to make big mistakes. He's going to manage the game.
Right, he doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and then you get a guy like Travis Kelce, who's turning into one heck of a stud at the tight end position, and the pieces that you've added since, you know, since last year. Now, I will say this. Spencer Ware is a big loss on the offensive end.
Yep.
And that would be one of the things you're going to have to wait and see. But I would agree with the fact, Grant, in your premise about the best well-rounded from coaching to offense to defense. It's not prolific, but it is really solid.
And you and I were talking about this a lot when the Raiders announced that they were moving to Vegas. And we had a lot of people that said they were done and blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, again, I wonder what happens, and I'm not forecasting it, but what happens if the Raiders get off to a bad start this year? What will the domino effect be, if any, of that situation at the Coliseum?
I would say that that is going to be an absolutely tough one from a lot of different perspectives, Grant. I mean, it's almost like it seems maybe some ruckus could come up if things don't work out as well as you might think that they will. What can the Raiders be if they jump out fast? I think that they could run away with it. I mean, they could put a lot of pressure on Kansas City. Before you know it, they could, you know, have a 2-3 game lead, and they could hold that. But if they get off to a bad start, Grant, I think that that defense could absolutely implode. It would put so much stress on the offense that it would be easier to game plan for them if you are a defense facing them. I think, and then you add the whole community and the crowd and all those different things, a bad start for the Raiders could be tough.
Yeah. All right. And then, you know, we talk about the rest of the teams in that division. Doug thinks San Diego is going to be better than I do. Denver, good defense. Offensively, I have absolutely no confidence in them. We'll continue our trips around the National Football League, and hard to believe that it begins a week from tomorrow. I think Kansas City is going to give New England all they can handle. I think the loss of Edelman is going to not derail the New England offense, okay, but I think it's going to have an effect. I look at Houston. I look at this defense of Kansas City. I think this is going to be a pretty close game. I'm not saying I'm picking Kansas City to win, but I think it's going to be a pretty close game.
Close as in three touchdowns close?
No, I think when the fourth quarter begins, the game will be within 7 points.
No way. Nah.
I think you're discrediting how good Kansas City was last year.
No, I'm not. I just think that everything that you see with the Patriots, this is going to be obviously the banner day. Tom Brady, he understands, I think, that he's on the backside, and he wants to solidify himself as the GOAT in a lot of different things. They've given him weapons. I think that they beat him by 13.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that they could get him just about two touchdowns.
Well, they could beat him by 13. The game, though, when the fourth quarter begins, I think will be a touchdown or less game. But you don't.
No. Okay. They're up by 10 at least.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they – and when I say that, Grant, I consider that kind of a runaway. You know, they're running the other way. And whether that's true or not, we will see. I don't think it's close, though, Napes.
You don't think it's close?
No.
All right.
And think about this. What is the one thing that Bill Belichick does better than anybody? He takes away the one thing that you want to do, and whatever that is for Kansas City, let's say that's Tyreek Hill, and he is your big-time prolific because now you don't have a Spencer Ware, so that takes one of your pieces away. He's going to take whatever you want to do at Travis Kelce. If that's what you want to do, it's not happening. What are you going to do then? And I don't see Alex Smith going into Foxborough and doing what you're saying do. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Alex Smith that wins the game, but Alex Smith won't turn the ball over, and I think if he doesn't turn the ball over, I think Kansas City's defense is good enough. I think it's just good enough.
I'm going out on a limb here. Pete Youngman, I hope you're listening. Alex Smith turns the ball over twice. What do you think about that, Napier?
Kansas, I'll tell you right now, I'll take Kansas City in the 8.5 points.
Really?
Yeah. I'd take the 8.5, absolutely.
Not a chance, man.
Now, these spreads may change a little bit.
Okay.
I'll tell you another game I would take. I would take Seattle getting 3 at Green Bay, and I'm not saying that because you're a fan of that. I would take the Giants getting 3.5.
Where are they at?
At Dallas.
I love
underdogs in week 1 of the NFL season.
You know what? Before you go on,
yeah.
Why? Because I find that interesting that you. Why do you say that?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. First of all, we don't really know who's going to be good and who's not.
Yes, I agree.
With the exception of just maybe 2 or 3 teams. That's number one. Number two, very rarely do you see good teams play really good early in the season because the preseason is a joke and there aren't a lot of contacts. You have a lot of poor tackling, missed assignments. And I've always felt that inferior teams or teams that are not as good can hang around. And so I like underdogs in week 1. I really do.
Go to Vegas, Grant.
I know. I don't like them that much.
Okay.
But, like, you know, you look at, for instance, Baltimore is at Cincinnati. You know, Baltimore's a 3-point underdog. I don't know what their quarterback situation is. I got to look at that. But I look at, for instance, New Orleans is getting 3.5 at Minnesota.
Oh, man. Yeah, you take that.
Right.
Because you got to know that Drew Brees is coming out and putting some points on the board, and I don't know that Minnesota can hang with him. Wow. Where's your bookie at, Napes?
I don't have a bookie. I don't bet.
I don't either. I'll bet you.
Yeah, you and I can, you know. But, no, I just don't.
Hey, they're there for a reason is what I say, Grant. Vegas wasn't.
But I'm taking – you give me 8. By the way, that's the second largest number on the board for week 1. I'm taking the Chiefs, and I actually am taking them to win the game. No, I'm picking them, though, to be in the game. I think they're going to give New England all they can handle, and I would take 8.5 points.
What, did Brian and Pete give you some money you before you walked in here, Napier?
You know, listen, you know I only root for one team, all right? I only
the Seahawks,
team.
That's right.
No. All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. That's why they make airplanes. What's the biggest plane you've ever been on? You know? Well, you were over. You just went on a big airplane.
Yeah.
I think you were on a 777, though.
Airbus? Is that what they call it?
Oh, you were on an Airbus?
Airbus 777?
No, you were on a Boeing 777. You were on China Airlines, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was a 777 or a 747, both Boeing.
It wasn't a 747.
All right, then it was a 777.
Yeah, it was a bigger one. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Well, a 747 is bigger than a 777.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's got the top. It's got at the front of the plane, it's two levels.
Oh, okay.
That's a 747.
KHDK, we're getting our aerodynamics.
Two engines on each wing.
Aerospace education.
Two engines on each wing. 777, one engine on each wing.
Ah, okay. You know a little too much.
No,
about
I'm just
all
saying. I was just asking you, what's the biggest plane? Have you ever been on an Airbus 380? You know, the double decker.
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't got there yet. All right. They got an elevator in that?
Yes, they do.
Gosh, I was just joking. Really?
Yeah, they do.
Oh man, I need to live a little bit more, Napes.
Showers, everything.
What?
If you go on Emirates Airlines First Class, you can take a shower. And I haven't been there, but I've seen the video of it. Just. You put it on YouTube. Go Emirates Airlines First Class.
Come on.
On the Airbus 380. It's awesome.
We need to step out a little bit more, Napes.
Well, you can afford that. I can't. I can't afford to go first class on Emirates. But you can.
It's all who you know.
Well, as I said, I can't afford it.
Neither can I.
But
no.
You got to go on it. Go next time you go overseas, take the Airbus 380.
Well, that's going to Dubai, right?
It goes wherever you want. You can go on Emirates from San Francisco or LA to Dubai. Yes, absolutely. You can go on Airbus 380s out of San Francisco and L.A. anywhere pretty much in the world.
Oh, man.
You said you wanted to go to China. You can take an Airbus 380 right from San Francisco and go to wherever you want.
Land bang right there.
Well, I wouldn't say right there. If you got 14 hours, you're right there.
Yeah. You know what? On those flights, if you're first class.
Or business.
Or business, yes. Both of them lay back.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy both of those.
No, business
immensely.
Is great. Yeah, no question.
When it wasn't my dime, I went on first class.
Next time you go overseas, I'll book your flights and everything for you, so you'll be ecstatic.
I'll be set.
Yeah.
You will not be flying
on a U.S. carrier. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that.
No.
We had that conversation.
No. We're going to put you on a real airline, okay, with real service. Cathay Pacific. You can go on Singapore Airlines.
There you go.
Japan Airlines. You know, I can just keep on going right on down the list. Yeah. All right? But you are going on an international carrier. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Okay?
Not a problem.
Do you hear what I'm saying, Christy?
I totally hear you. Sorry, all domestic airlines.
No, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry at all. It's the damn truth, okay? You are not flying on one of our carriers when you go overseas. I'm not going to allow it.
There is an absolute difference, and I've done both. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Nate.
Absolute difference.
No, listen. You told me this before I went.
And what did I tell you?
You said, look, I'm telling you, there is a total difference if you fly in domestic airlines overseas.
No, not domestic. U.S. carriers
U.S.
overseas.
Carriers.
Because when you go, it's still international, but it's U.S. carrier.
And boy, oh boy, I went going one way. I used international.
Right.
Coming back.
You were on a domestic
international
carrier.
Totally different. I was just not happy at all, Grant. I could tell you. I hate to say you're right a lot.
You know I'm right. On
you
that
were
one.
Right on
I
that.
I mean,
one.
Like, it's just like not
night
even
and day.
Close.
Night and day.
Right.
Yeah. They got stepped
the
game
only
up.
Similarities, and I really mean this, are the fact that the plane did take off and land both ways.
You're bad, man.
No, am I wrong?
No, you are not
okay,
wrong.
Okay, then I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just saying those are the only similarities.
Funny. It's funny.
Oh, you think it's funny?
I wasn't trying to be funny.
I was just trying to say those are the only similarities.
You are right.
And, you know, the other similarity, they probably used the same type of jet fuel. All right? Other than that.
Because, you know what, when you told me that, you and Scott Pollard, I'm thinking, what the hell are
and
they
And the
talking
pilots
about?
Are probably similarly skilled.
Yes.
All right?
Oh,
I would say that is accurate.
I mean, the flight was fine. But
night and day,
all the amenities and all the stuff.
Night and day.
Yeah. pomp and circumstance wasn't right.
Night and day.
Yes, sir. Agreed.
Just thought I would throw that in there. Just thought you would like to know.
I hate when you're right.
All right. 339-1140 is the local number, 800-920-1140. All right. When we come back, we're going to start our trip. Are we good to break? We're going to start our trip. He talks like a mouse in there. I can't ever hear him.
Hey, what is that? You giving us baseball signs? What is that? Boston,
I hope he cheers. I hope he cheers louder when he's at the freaking Republic games. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to talk some NFC North football, or AFC North, I beg your pardon, with Dave Lapham, Bengals radio analyst. Coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We get you up till 6:45. I'm Grant Napier, along with Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to spend some time previewing the AFC North. Yesterday, we took a look at the NFC North, and I think most people agree that the Green Bay Packers, as long as Aaron Rodgers is standing upright, are the team to beat. And the AFC North, I think most people like the Pittsburgh Steelers, but a team that you also got to keep an eye on are the Cincinnati Bengals. Last year was a little different. They only won 6 games after making the playoffs, I think, 4 years in a row. Mm-hmm. They took a little step back. And, of course, you know, you look at the Bengals, and I know the fans down there in Cincinnati keep asking, you know, what's going to be different this year? In other words, you know, they haven't won a playoff game with Andy Dalton at quarterback, Marvin
right.
Lewis. I mean, you know, when are they going to start winning is the question down in Cincinnati.
Well, Grant, they've given Andy Dalton some pieces. Obviously, A.J. Green has to come back off of injury. But Joe Mixon, who is, from all intents and purposes, looking, he can do some things on the football field. And then when you think about this team, Grant, can they do something on the defensive side of the ball? Can Andy Dalton make sure that he can put points on the board? Now you have a deep threat in Ross from Washington, John Ross. So now you got a speedster. You got a guy who in A.J. Green who's big. He can, you know, he's got a wide catch radius. And you got somebody in Joe Mixon who can run the football. So offensively, maybe they can do some things. Defensively, can they keep their heads on straight?
All right. And they open up the season against Baltimore on the 10th of September, and then they are home against Houston. So they've got 2 games on the road to open up the season. Then they're at Green Bay, at Cleveland, then home against Buffalo. They got an early bye week after those first 5 games. And, you know, I look at the schedule, and I look at the end of the schedule, and, you know, it's pretty favorable. I don't think this schedule, again, schedules change because of injuries, but I think it's a relatively easy schedule. And the reason for that is, you know, you're playing all the teams in the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
You have the NFC North, but you've got Detroit at home. You've got Chicago at home. And you've got Detroit at home. The only, you know, I mean, that's not going to kill you. You're at Green Bay and you're at Minnesota. But, you know, you've got, to me, this is a pretty favorable schedule for Cincinnati. I don't think it's that difficult.
Grant, when you look at these fringe teams like Baltimore, like these guys, Cincinnati, not so much Cleveland. Let's leave them to the side. How important in your mind is it for them to get off to a good start?
Well, I think everybody likes to get off to a good start.
I mean, when you're maybe a little bit like, for instance, the Patriots. If the Patriots just happen to lose 2 out of 3, you know they got the talent, they got the poise and all that.
They also are in a very weak division.
True. But when you look at a team like Cincinnati with kind of hotheads, different things like that, getting off to a good start might be a really, really good thing.
Well, and you have the first 2 games at home.
Okay.
So that puts more onus on getting off to a good start.
And those, I mean, for instance.
They should win both their games.
I don't know about the Texans because defensively, obviously, the Texans are good. So that one maybe is a wash. But playing against a Ravens team that's maybe minus Flacco, yeah, you should beat them. And division-wise, that would bode well for you.
Yeah, but then you see, then after that, you're at Green Bay, which I don't think they beat Green Bay. Then you're at Cleveland. You should win that game, even though that's a division rival. And those division rival games are, I know it's a cliche, but you throw all the numbers out the window. And then you have Buffalo at home, and you should win that game.
So if you look at that, that's 5 weeks. You got your bye week in week six. If you are Cincinnati, looking at those first five games, what would you be happy with, Grant, getting out of there?
3-2.
3-2?
Yep.
See, a winning record. In my opinion, for them, that's getting off to a good start.
Because to me, you're not going to win at Green Bay.
Right.
And so, to me, you split the first two games.
Yep.
And then you win at Cleveland against Buffalo, you go 3-2. I personally think, again, I don't want to get carried away here, I think they have a very good chance to start off 4-1.
That would be – see, that's what I'm saying. You get off to a start like that, you get some goodwill, yep. Locker room, and you get the bye week to get healthy, and you come back – but look who you come back with.
Yeah,
Grant.
But you got 2 weeks to prepare for your arch rival Pittsburgh.
This is true. And then you got the Colts, who you don't know what's happening with Andrew Luck.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is a team you could get bullish on if they're playing the right way.
All right. Trying to get a hold of Dave Lapham. And if we do, we'll put him on. You know,
we should go outside and lap him. See how I did
I'll that. Let you go first. You let me know how that works, and then I'll come join you.
We got to get those running legs back on you, Napier.
Done running. I don't run anymore.
Come on.
No, I don't. I'm done with running.
I'm just saying, man, you're getting stronger. I can see the way.
I am done running. I do not run anymore.
At all?
No.
Jog?
No, what for?
Even in the pool?
No, well, in the pool, I swim.
Oh, well, how about underwater treadmill?
No, I don't do. How would I have an underwater treadmill?
Hey, Pete has one.
Oh, really? So you think Pete's going to deliver one to my house?
No, but I think if you keep talking up his Kansas City Chiefs, he might let you use it.
And what do I need an underwater treadmill for?
So that you can run.
I don't want to run. That's why I swim, so I don't have to run.
I don't know, man. Running's good for you, Napes.
What's good for you?
Swimming, too.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's good for me to pound my joints and my knees and
my ankles
and everything
else? That's why
you're
in an underwater treadmill, Grant.
Okay.
So, and you get the cardio.
You get me, you deliver one to my house, and I'll do some underwater treadmill running. And I'll videotape it, and I'll put it on Twitter for you.
You've become so spoiled.
Deliver
it to my house.
Deliver it to my house.
Man, all these.
I bet you those are very expensive.
What? I would think so. Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah.
Have you ever been? No, you haven't?
Pete doesn't like me that much.
So you're telling me to do it, and yet you won't do it.
Oh, I will totally do it. That's my thing, all that stuff. Grant, come on, man. I dig that. They got the one down there where you can get in it, Grant, and it takes the weight off of you. You seen that one? Come on, man.
You're watching too much TV, man.
What do you mean? They have it.
You're talking about the float?
The treadmill.
Oh, the treadmill. Everything underwater takes weight off you.
No, not that one. They got another one. It's right there by the court.
I do know one thing. They have if it's available, they have it. That's the one thing. The Kings have spared no expense for their training equipment. They have a phenomenal, and I really mean
it. Yes, they do.
They have a phenomenal training staff and a phenomenal training facility. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Yes, I totally agree. Everything down there, Norma Tech.
It's top shelf.
That's where I took my son yesterday Kings, but Normatec, it reduces, gets rid of swelling,
yep.
Lactic acid, all
yep.
those things. Yeah, they're doing it top shelf down there.
My wife's got one at home.
Oh, man, you guys are living large.
She does. She does.
Did it get delivered home?
It did. It actually, you know what? No, she actually purchased it at a race that she was running, a trail race that she was doing, and she purchased it and said, oh, she was happy. And she uses it all the time.
Yeah, those things.
She says she swears by it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine, like when we were playing, getting on the plane, I use all that stuff, man. Come on, Nate.
I'm not kidding you. Every night she uses it. She said it makes her legs feel great.
Maybe you should use it too, Grant.
Well, I don't need it. I don't run. I don't have
issues.
You
don't want to feel good?
What do I need it for? I don't. My legs aren't bothering me.
Well, maybe you come
my
in
legs
here
aren't,
in a,
my legs
in a
aren't,
better with
no.
a better demeanor and attitude. Come on.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll look into it just for you, okay?
I appreciate
that. Is that okay?
That, man. Yes, I can live with that.
All right.
Star, get him right. Get him right.
All right. We are going to talk Cincinnati Bengals football with Dan Hoard. He is the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. Dan, it is Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. How are you? Hey, can you hear me? Hey, Dan, thank you very much for calling. It's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Grant and Doug, I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We really appreciate you filling in on short notice here to help us out. You know, Doug and I were just talking about last year after the string of nice playoff appearances, although with this group still looking for their first playoff win and then a step back last year, although I looked at the schedule and the schedule to me was brutal last year. I think you have a much more favorable schedule this year. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, there's no question about that. The schedule is definitely easier, at least on paper, than it was a year ago. And the thing that's good from a scheduling standpoint, I think, for the Bengals this year is that it's kind of easiest early. I think they've got a real chance to get off to a great start. And as you know, in any sport, if you can get that snowball rolling and getting bigger and bigger as it goes downhill, sometimes that can propel you a long way.
Dave, when you look at the young Joe Mixon, obviously the off-field stuff that happened, what do you think about his prospect going forward? Because what we've seen from him so far this year in the preseason has been some good stuff.
He's looked good in the preseason, and he's looked even better in training camp. I know it's going to sound ridiculous to say, considering that he's never played an NFL regular season game, but based on what I've seen at training camp, I think he is one of the five most talented running backs in the NFL. He is that good. Now, having said that, the Bengals still have Jeremy Hill. They still have Giovanni Bernard. So I know you probably have some fantasy football players listening that are thinking, gosh, I've got to go draft Joe Mixon for my league. Well, I wouldn't use a high pick on him because I'm not sure he's going to get a lot of touches, particularly early in the year. But I think as the season goes along, the Bengals will more or less be forced to feed him the ball a lot because he is that good.
Dan, do you see Coach Lewis maybe using him in special teams in some different areas to get the football to him?
There's a chance he could be used as a kick returner. He wouldn't be used as a punt returner. But he did do that at Oklahoma, and he ran one back for a touchdown last year. Having said that, the Bengals have Alex Erickson on the roster. He led the AFC in kick returns last year and was second in the NFL. And they drafted John Ross with the 9th overall pick, and he had 4 kick return touchdowns for Washington. So it's a possibility with Joe Mixon, but I don't think it's a probability.
Dan Hoard is the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, joining us here to preview the Bengals. You talked about, you know, at least on paper, the ability to get off to a good start. And Doug and I, before you came on with us, we went over your first 5 games, and I love that schedule for the Bengals. I mean, home games against Baltimore and Houston, then at Green Bay, at Cleveland, home Buffalo. And again, I don't want to get greedy here, but if Marvin Lewis was looking for what appears to be a favorable schedule to get off to a good start, I think he's got it.
Well, let's face it, with the teams you just ran down and the locations of those games, you're looking at a real good opportunity to be 4-1
yep.
to begin the season.
That's what I just said.
Expect
yep.
the Bengals. Yeah, nobody expects the Bengals to go to Green Bay in Week 3 and win, although it's not impossible. But not only do they open at home against Baltimore, but that Houston game in Week 2 is a Thursday night home game. And I think Thursday night home games are a huge advantage for any team in the NFL. Short week, no travel. If you got to play Houston, that's the time to play them early in the season on a Thursday night at home. So like we both said, I think it does shape up as a really good opportunity to be 4-1 to begin the year.
Dan, every team's got question marks. What would you say is the biggest question mark for the Cincinnati Bengals this year?
Easy question to answer. It's the offensive line. It was shaky last year. They gave up 41 sacks. That was second worst in the NFL, and they lost their 2 best offensive linemen. Andrew Whitworth signed as a free agent with the Rams. Kevin Zeitler got the biggest contract for a guard in NFL history when he signed with Cleveland. So that's the question mark in Cincinnati. Now, they prepared for this day a few years ago. They used their 1st and 2nd round draft picks 3 years ago on 2 offensive linemen who move into the starting lineup this year. Cedric Oboehe at left tackle, Jake Fisher at right tackle. If those guys play well and the offensive line is good enough, then this team can go a long way. But if they struggle and those guys are not able at this point in their careers to consistently do a good job, then the Bengals are not going to live up to their high hopes.
Dan, you go tell Andy Dalton that he needs to take care of that offensive line, 41 sacks. I looked at Grant when you said that, and I said, ouch, that is a lot of sacks. Defensively, obviously, Vontaze Burfict has been reduced now to 3-game suspension. What do you see from the defensive side of the football that lends you to believe they're going to be able to get some 3-and-outs, they're going to be able to get some takeaways and get that offense on the field?
Well, last year, the Bengals defense finished eighth in the NFL in points allowed. So it was a top 10 defense. And in the second half of the season last year, they were second in the NFL in points allowed. So they've got the nucleus back of a very good defense already. Geno Atkins is one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. Carlos Dunlap is an elite pass rusher. Vontaze Burfict, no matter what people think about him, is a tremendous football player, and he's in a contract year. So he's had a spectacular preseason. I expect him to be a Pro Bowl player this year. They keep drafting cornerbacks in the first round every other year or so. They did that last year with Will Jackson out of Houston, and then he missed his entire rookie season with a pectoral injury. So it's like getting an extra first-round draft pick. They've got him ready to go at corner. The question mark right now defensively with the Bengals is safety, because both of their starting safeties have been hurt in the preseason. They expect to have George Iloka back for week one. They won't have Sean Williams back probably for the first three or four games. But other than that, it's a very solid unit that's well coached by Paul Gunther.
I'm curious the pulse of the fan in Cincinnati. I would imagine it's a level of frustration. Would that be accurate? You've had some good teams. They have not been able to get the wins in the playoffs with this group. Of course, the meltdown at the end of the Pittsburgh game, then the disappointment last year. Where's the pulse of the Bengals fans at right now?
Well, that's accurate. They're frustrated because the Bengals have the longest stretch of any team in the NFL without a postseason win. They have not won a playoff game since January of 1991.
Wow.
So it's 26 seasons without a playoff win. Marvin Lewis has done a great job of getting them to the postseason. They went 5 years in a row before they missed last year, which, as you know, is very hard to do in the NFL, particularly when you play in the Bengals division, where you've got to try to beat the Steelers and the Ravens four times a year. So they've been a very good team. They're having a hard time getting over the hump. But there is one thing I think folks should keep in mind. 2 years ago, when they did have that meltdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the postseason, the Bengals arguably were the best team in the NFL with four games to go. They were the number one seed in the AFC, and Andy Dalton broke his thumb. He was arguably having an MVP-type season that year. He had the highest passer rating in the AFC. The stars seemed to be aligned, and then sure enough, the starting quarterback broke his thumb. And while A.J. McCarron did a very good job filling in, their points per game went down by about a touchdown after Andy broke his thumb. So that might have been the year. And it's one of those things in football. You've got to live with it, because sooner or later it happens to everybody. You're going to lose key players during the course of the year.
A.J. Green coming off injury, what do you see from him? Absolutely prolific receiver, a target for Andy Dalton. Is he 100%? Will we see those same type of gains from him?
He is 100%. He's had a tremendous training camp, arguably his best, which is – sounds absurd to say because he's been so good in his first six NFL seasons, but he looks great. He's definitely the number one option when Andy Dalton drops back to pass. And whereas I warn people that they might want to avoid taking Joe Mixon with a high pick in their fantasy drafts, you can definitely go all in on A.J. Green. He will post huge numbers again this year.
Dan, before we let you go, when you look at this division, let's preview it quickly. Pittsburgh, the team to beat, do you think, from the Bengals' perspective?
Yes. No question. It's one of the best offenses in the NFL. I think their defense has been getting a little bit better year by year. It took a while to adjust to the coaching change after Dick LeBeau moved on. But I think with that explosive offense and improving defense, that's the team to beat in the division. I think the Bengals can give them a run. Injuries will certainly be a factor to determine which of those two teams comes out on top.
Great stuff. We really appreciate you coming on, Dan. Thank you very much. Have a great season.
Grant and Doug, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you, Dan. That's Dan Horde, the voice of the Bengals.
You know, Grant, when you listen to him and they talk about the talent, just talent that they have, the way that they've drafted, planned ahead maybe for offensive linemen leaving, drafting defensive backs. You know A.J. Green, you know Mixon, you know Andy Dalton, he may be an MVP. I mean, they are, but can they get it together? Because talent-wise, it sounds – like they have a boatload of it.
All right, give me your thoughts on this team. Is there anything about it that excites you other than what we just heard? And what would it take for them to get back into the playoffs and be ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers? I mean, first of all, the one thing about Roethlisberger, he has been getting more and more banged up.
Yeah, every year it seems like, you know, I mean, in the style of play, he tries to, you know, extend plays a lot of the time. And when you do that, you run the risk of, you know, someone getting off of a block and before you know it, they're on his knees. And that's kind of the things that have been happening to Ben. I would anticipate that he's not hit as much this year, Grant. I think he's going to get the ball out quick. Will he extend plays from time to time? I think that's his style. But you're right. And if he goes down, there's an opportunity for Cincinnati to move in there.
All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, as we are taking you right up till 6:45. If you are a fan of the Ravens, we're going to run down that team coming up in about 10 minutes with John Eisenberg from BaltimoreRavens.com. So, again, John Eisenberg from Ravens.com. And then at 5:30, we'll talk more football with Ian Eagle of CBS Sports.
So, which is going to be absolutely awesome because you talk about everything with Ian. And when it comes to football, boy, oh, boy, he's on it.
He is. Ian does it all. He's an outstanding basketball announcer as well. So our thanks to Dan Horde for joining us as Dave Lapham got tied up, couldn't do it. So Dan stepped in, and it was great to talk to him. I was going to talk to Dave about being such a long-time offensive lineman in that city when they had Ken Anderson as the quarterback, because I think Ken Anderson is really, when you look back at quarterbacks and great stories, phenomenal story that he was drafted out of Augustana, Division III college, and went on to be a perennial All-Pro, and he was a tremendous quarterback for Cincinnati.
Augustana.
Yeah, it's in Illinois.
Ah, never heard of that one. Yeah, see? Something new every day.
And they're a Division III powerhouse. Like, they have a tremendous Division III heritage with football. Like, they're Augustana.
Even now?
I'm not sure about now, but for many, many – okay. Post-Ken Anderson, for many, 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 many years, Augustana was always a Division III powerhouse.
Yeah, well, you know, listening to Dan Horde, Grant, as I'm sitting here and I'm listening, I'm saying, man, you know, they have something in Cincinnati, man. It's just, can they get lightning in the bottle and put it together? Because talent-wise, it sounds like they've drafted well and they got a whole bunch of it. But it's the thing between the ears, Grant. That's the thing they need to focus on.
All right. Again, we are talking football. We are happy to be talking football. We've got a game next Thursday. Of course, we'll have the Monday night package, the Thursday night package. We've got the Raiders. We got it all. So Monday night football, Thursday night football, Sunday football, we got it all over the place.
Football, football, football. It's about to jump off.
We got college football going on. We got a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know, that's going to be the springboard. On top of the fact, I mean, just some absolutely great matchups, man. Michigan, Florida. I mean, oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's all good, right?
Yes. Alabama, Florida State. Get it? Yeah. Get it? Get it?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we got the A's at 6:45 as they wrap up their set with the Angels. And then tomorrow, we've got the Raiders as they will play the fourth preseason game at home.
Who are they playing, Grant?
They're playing the Seattle Seahawks.
There you go, buddy.
I think, but based on what we will be seeing on the field, it won't look like the Seattle Seahawks. What do you think?
I am totally okay with
that.
You're
okay with that? You don't
think you need any? Sit them all down. Matter of fact, leave them at home.
You don't think you need any more practice?
Nope. I'm ready to roll. I want them to count. You know, I want them out there, but I want them to count when they're out there.
Got a nice game coming up next week, boy, at Lambeau.
Boy, oh, boy, man. That's a way to start it out. You know, it's going to say a lot about our team, I will say. If we go on the road and get this one, and I think we will, it's going to be tough because, you know, your buddy, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be ripe and ready. And you know what, Grant, is it going to be the team that ended the season in Green Bay, or is it going to be that team that struggled at the beginning of the season? I'm hoping for the latter.
All right. Tell you what, we will take a short break. And we'll come back. We'll continue this conversation. And we will get to more of your phone calls. We'll preview the Ravens. We got all of that right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.